Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your spirit this morning. Help us, Lord, as we open your word, Father. Give us wisdom and the words to speak that may bring glory and honor to you, Father. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we might know your ways and follow thee, Lord. We just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. And like those that are most quoted by the world, the most distorted verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, or 7 and 8, or 8 and 9, I guess it's the ones they use. I want to read, beginning in verse 1, we'll stop at 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We know the context of these verses that are given when people quote them about salvation. When we start teaching people and start preaching that you have to hear Christ, you have to hear and understand his ways before you can truly decide whether you're going to follow him or not. if you don't know what direction he wants you to go, if you don't know what he wants you to do, how can you know whether you're willing to do it or not? When you don't know who Jesus is, how do you know how to follow him? And we simply teach that the way to be saved is to hear the words of Jesus and rise up and follow him. That's what he taught. And right away, someone always comes and says, well, what about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9? You're trying to work your way to heaven. You can't do that. For by grace you're saved. You can't go to heaven by obeying God. We're saved by grace. And so people quickly dismiss all of the teachings of Jesus and run to these two verses and build their entire doctrine on grace and faith and say they are saved by grace, through faith, not of works. I want to just look at these verses this morning and see that there is, and show you very clearly that there is no contradiction between what is said here and obeying Jesus. There's four words: grace, saved, faith, and works. Whenever we hear those words, we've been taught all our life, and our mind is triggered to go a certain direction when we hear those words. I grew up in church, and people all of my life, and I heard the ages and the numbers roll right on. People would come to church every Sunday morning or every Sunday night when they opened up and had a time of giving a little testimony. Someone would say, well, I'm glad I have the opportunity to stand up for my Lord. 20 years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart, and he saved me. 10 years later, same church, same bench, same person. I never want to miss an opportunity to stand up for my Lord. Same people. 30 years ago, the Lord saved me. 10 years later, same church, same person, same people, same preacher. 40 years ago, the Lord saved me. They haven't done a thing different in 40 years. They've come to the same church. The only time they testify is to the church people who's heard the same message for 40 years. And that word saved has turned into, I'm in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven no matter what, because I was saved. Saved is saved from, not saved to. The children of Israel were saved from Egypt and bondage. How many out of the children of Israel walked into the promised land? Two out of 2 million that were saved from Egypt. 2 million, roughly, they say, were saved from the bondage of Egypt. And two of those 2 million walked into the promised land. We're saved from, not delivered to. Whenever you look at that verse, whenever I was first converted, when I first began walking with the Lord, and was saved from this world, and I began walking with the Lord, I heard people say saved, and I began to just despise that word. Thought, people are saved, and they're using that word like it's already over, and they're in heaven, and there's nothing can happen. And I remember talking this over with one of the men that I had fellowship with, and we began to talk, and we just saw how people were abusing this word. And we just all but said, well, I don't even want to use it. I don't want to just say I'm saved. Because instead of saying, praise the Lord, I'm delivered from that unto good works, it meant I'm saved and I'm going to be in heaven. And people rested in that. And they got a false assurance from that. Instead of it being the very beginning of turning away from this world and walking on with the Lord, it became the end all and be all of Christianity. Are you saved? And that's as far as it goes. Whether that means being baptized or whatever. Being saved is just the beginning of walking with the Lord. And we talked about it, and then I remember one day we were talking about it again, and he said, you know, I was thinking about quitting using that word, but the Bible uses it, so I'm just going to keep on using it. The problem isn't that the Bible's using it. The problem is how we're taking the word. We are saved. We are set free from. We were bound in sin. And if we read this morning the context of Ephesians chapter 2, just beginning in verse 1 and just reading, what's it talking about? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What happened? you were saved from death. Because you were dead in your sins. You're dead in sins. You're separated from God in your sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Where's this world headed? It's headed for hell. It's headed for God's judgment. It's against God. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were walking with Satan when you're walking in this world. The spirit that now works, that worketh in the children of disobedience. What do you got there? You're a servant of Satan, walking in this world, dead, and don't even care. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What was happening here? We were walking in the flesh, fulfilling our lust, walking with Satan in this world. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Does that mean we had to understand and know about that love? No. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Made us alive with Christ. By grace you're saved. By grace you are delivered. From what? Right into the pearly gates? No. We're delivered from the world, from Satan, the prince of the power of this air, or the air. We're delivered from the conversation, the way we used to walk, the way we used to live. We're saved from that. He's redeemed us out of that. By grace. We've spoke about grace in other messages. But just to recap just a little bit. Here we are, walking with the world, walking with Satan, just living after our own lust and desires, just living to pursue what we want. But God, in his great grace, reached down and convicted us of our sin. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, verse 10 and 11. For by grace ye are saved. Titus chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It's just wonderful how God gives his own definition of words sometimes, most times. If you don't understand something, just keep looking and you'll find that he explains the words. Verse 11 and 12, I'm sorry. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What is grace? What does grace do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Grace doesn't just deliver us into heaven. Grace doesn't just take us and save us into heaven. Grace wakes us up out of our death so that we can be saved from it. Grace is appearing to all men, trying to show them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. It's not ushering us right into heaven. All we have to do is just bide our time until we get there. By grace we're saved. Satan, Satan will never have grace extended to him. By the very conviction, by the very condemnation we feel by God's word is grace. God extending his hand of mercy to us. He does that by reproving us of our sins, trying to show us his righteousness and judgment to come. But instead of clinging to that, men run from it. The children of Israel, when God appeared on the mountain, they all got scared and said, "We don't want to see him. We don't want to hear him." They ran away from him. Because grace shows you your heart. Grace shows you your life. Grace shows you the truth and where you're at. Grace teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. For by grace, for by God's intervening in your life, trying to show you to live righteously and godly in this present world, denying yourself, you're saved. from this world. For by grace you're saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. Faith is responding to that grace, listening for God's direction, and obeying Him. It doesn't take long to get a Strong's Concordance and look up these words. Clinging to, obeying. If you follow the root of these words, that's what faith is. Faith is putting your trust in this person. And if you don't know who he is, you can't trust him. You don't know who you're trusting. You don't know where he's going to lead you. If you don't know what he teaches and what he believed, how can you follow him? People blindly thinking that they're just going to be saved because they say a stupid little prayer. And they don't know who they're praying to or what they're praying for, except they think they're going to go to heaven if they say that prayer. They might quit doing a few bad things. They might quit singing the world's songs and start singing the church's songs. They might quit hanging out in bars, start hanging out in church. Being saved isn't a new life in Christ Jesus. It might be being delivered from an old life, but unless you put on the new life, there is no new life. People can sit in church all their life and say, "The Lord delivered me. He saved me." But if they don't rise up and follow Him, they're going to slide right off of their church pew right into hell. He didn't save you to sit in church on Sunday morning. Find that out here in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Back to verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Satan will never get an opportunity to be saved. Grace is a song that angels cannot sing. There's a song that goes that way. Because it's never been extended to them. They walk in their darkness. They live in their darkness. And they have no conscience about their darkness. They have no twang about, I ought to live righteous. I ought to do what's right. I ought to live godly, and I ought to live soberly in this world. They never have that thought enter their mind. They never feel condemned. They never feel convicted. Because no grace is extended to them. They never feel like they need to change, that they need to improve, that when they fall down, they need to just get right back up. They don't know that. All they know is down and down and down and down and down. Worse and worse and worse. And that's the way the world is. Without God, without Christ. Grace teaches us to get back up and follow. For by grace ye are saved, delivered from. Looked at several verses here. Rahab the harlot was saved. How was Rahab the harlot saved? Because the children of Israel went to her city and killed everyone in it except her. She didn't go through the same thing. She wasn't killed. She was saved. How many times the Bible says, and God saved Israel that day? If you were drowning in a well, someone threw a rope down to you, pulled you out. What happened to you? You're saved out of that well. Does that mean you're just going to go to heaven now and there ain't nothing can stop you? No, you don't. You were saved from a bad situation. By grace, we were saved from a bad situation. And we didn't deserve, we didn't do a thing. We couldn't do enough right things to get God to move to save us from that bad situation. He chose to do it. He did not choose to save the devil. But man, he did. Because he loved us. The devil, he didn't. devil, going to hell, and there's nothing he can do about it. Not one thing. Because God hasn't extended his grace to him so that he could change and turn back to God's ways. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It's the opportunity of God. It's a gift. He didn't give that gift to the devil, but he did to man. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What does he mean by works there? Works. How did we get saved? Because God reached down and called us. How is the devil going to get saved? He's not. Because God is not going to call him. What made the difference between us and the devils? Was it because we were good part of the time? Because he saw someone down here on their own accord doing something good? No. There's nothing humanity did that deserved or could do. There's no work that man could have done, because from the very beginning of time, God had chosen that he was going to give us an opportunity to be redeemed. It's nothing that you and I can boast about. We're dead in our sins. We didn't even have a desire for God at all. We're on the way to hell. We're following hand in hand with Satan, walking after the pleasures and worldly lust. There's no thing that would motivate us to do anything right that would make us saved. Because it isn't even in our minds. It isn't in our hearts. We still had choices to do what's right and wrong. But it was because God intervened. While we had no care and no thought, there was nothing we could have done because we were dead. But he did intervene. And he showed us that we ought to live godly and righteous. It's two completely different things there. Being dead, nothing we can do. God speaking to us and giving us an opportunity to come back to Him. And responding. With works. With obedience. With hearing. With seeing, walking, living by, two completely different things. Dead, having no desire for God, and then God calling. And expecting us to obey Him. Two entirely different things. But they've become so twisted up that now men say that if you hear that call and you obey, you're trying to work your way to heaven. That has absolutely nothing to do with what this verse is teaching. Absolutely nothing. This verse is teaching that when we had no care for God, it was impossible for us to have done anything. To wake ourselves up, just like it is impossible for the devil to follow God. There's nothing he can do to change God's mind to show him that he needs to repent. Even after 40 years later, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, they had to fight for every city and every inch of ground that they got. 2 million of their forefathers were saved. Two made it into the promised land. With their children. Once they got there, the fight was on. In fact, two of them found some land before they got there. 2.5 of the tribes. And they said, well, this will suit us just fine. And the others rose up in anger. Wickedness. What do you mean? You're not going to help us fight? How wicked. That you're not going to enter into the battle? You're just going to stay on this side? And they had to make a promise that they'd go fight side by side with the rest of them until they all had their land, and then they could come back to theirs. They weren't delivered into, they were saved from, but they weren't delivered into. Talked about in Sunday school this morning, David had to fight for his kingdom. One little group at a time, from a little small group of followers, they grew and grew and grew. Until he had trodden down his enemies. And the kingdom was won. Jesus walked in this world. Fought Satan. Fought the world. Overcame death. He had to live his life. till all of his enemies were trodden down. Then he was triumphant. Everything takes a battle. You got to pay your dues. And all of a sudden, Christianity comes along and says, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to do a thing. No one in the Bible, no one in the world, no one in any form ever got away with it that way. You don't plant a crop without sweat. You don't just sit back and pretend it's going to happen, and it just happens. World's trying to go that way with their welfare programs and all that kind of stuff. People are expecting it that way. And I think they're getting it from modern Christianity. But it ain't that way. It ain't over till it's over. You're not in heaven until you're there. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Just look at the world. Just look at the Word of God. And the words that are twisted and turned around, it'll fit together. If we follow Jesus, and are faithful, and are watching and waiting when he comes, then we'll be saved. Like everyone else thinks they already are. The Bible condemns those that settle on their lees. That say, my soul hath many goods laid up. Thou fool, God said. For by grace ye are saved through faith. For by grace ye are saved through faith. So drilled in our minds. I hope we can overcome how it's twisted. Many people will hear this and just will not accept it. They just will not accept it because it's just been drilled in their head so deeply that they won't even listen. What the whole chapter is trying to scream out to them, that they're saved from. Noah was saved from the flood, from the destruction. But he still had to get off the boat. Still had to ride it out. May the Lord add his blessings to his words. Father, we just again thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, Father, as we open your word, that we can see things, Lord, clearly the way they are, Father, that we can unlearn many lies that we've been told all our lives, Father. Lord, that we can teach the salvation that Christ taught, not what the theologians have convinced the world of, Father. Lord, help us be faithful to you. Lord, that you'd help us, Father, that we were delivered. We thank you that we were delivered, we were saved from this wicked world by you calling, by your grace to us. Lord, that we can have the faith to hear and rise up and obey you, Father. Not because we had anything to do with it while we were in darkness. We didn't cause the light to shine in our hearts when we were walking in darkness. We didn't work to get the light turned on when we were in darkness. But when you showed us the way, you gave us an opportunity to obey you. That you gave us an opportunity to hear you out of the darkness, that we might walk in your glorious light and be what you created us to be and work how you created us to work and to bring forth works that you would have us bring forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin brought out, I want to just read that again in Jude 4 and 5. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of God old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Praise the Lord. Just a pretty clear summary. Even if we read on in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, or verse 12, that at the time that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. And God, without any hope, without anything that we could do, gave his grace and showed us, wait, here's a way. And he expects us to take it.